The woman who had hoped to be first was Bessie Hyde. She made her attempt in 1928 on her honeymoon with her husband Glenn. Their trip made national headlines. Then they disappeared just 46 miles from the mouth of the canyon. The Hydes have been the focus of campfire legends and speculation ever since. Now there's a book with new insight into the mystery, as NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
There are two striking photographs of Glenn and Bessie Hyde taken in November of 1928 in the midst of their journey. The first shows them relaxed, flapper hair framing Bessie's smiling face. Glenn smiles above her, tall and lanky, with stooped shoulders. He was 29, she was 22. The photo was taken by Grand Canyon photographer Emery Kolb, who spoke about it later in a film.
I made this picture of them at this building, entertained them here in my home, offered them life preservers and every assistance. They refused the life preservers. Good swimmers. Thought they could swim anything, I guess.
A final portrait was taken 2 days later by another adventurer who joined the couple for some of the most bruising whitewater in the canyon. In this photograph, the Hydes are stiff and tense. Their eyes have haunting stares, and their smiles are gone. A month later, Emery Kolb inspected their boat 140 miles downstream. He described what he saw in an interview when he was 95 years old.
We found the Hyde's boat right side up, held by its own rope, dragging in about 30 feet of water. In that boat was everything intact. They had our book as a guide. There it lay high and dry, and a gun, and their little camera and notebook, everything there. Whatever happened to the bride and groom, no one knows.
Glenn and Bessie Hyde triggered one of the most extensive Grand Canyon searches ever, involving two governors, the War Department, and even President Calvin Coolidge. There was hope the Hydes survived a mishap, climbed as much as a mile skyward to the canyon rim, then set off cross-country, 20 miles or more to the nearest town. No trace of them was ever found. But in 1971, an elderly woman on a Grand Canyon river trip listened quietly to the story of the lost honeymooners and then spoke up. A river guide named O.C. was there, along with former guide George Billingsley.
She was staring into the fire and says, "I know what happened to him." And O.C. says, "Yeah, what happened?" He says, "I killed him." "What do you mean you killed him?" He says, "Well, I'm Bessie Hyde." Then O.C. kind of asks, "Well, how did you do it?" He says, "Well, I used a knife. We had a big fight. Done him in and put him in the river, and I didn't know what else to do, so I let the boat loose and just took off walking."
The guides had their doubts, but others heard about the campfire Bessie, and a new legend was born. River historian Eleanor Inskeep tracked the woman down before she died.
She denied it, and we talked some more, and she asked me if I thought she was Bessie Hyde, and I said no. I thought she was way too big-boned and too large of a woman to be Bessie Hyde, at which point she told me that maybe Glenn Hyde was a much larger man than anyone thought. So I was left with both the yes and the no.
Another legend went from the campfires of the Grand Canyon to the living rooms of the nation, with a 1987 broadcast of the show Unsolved Mysteries.
Emery Kolb, a Grand Canyon photographer, was one of the last people to see them alive. 50 years later, when Kolb died, authorities were surprised by a gruesome discovery in his boathouse on the rim of the canyon. Hidden in a canoe was a single human skeleton that appeared to have suffered a violent death.
The skeleton was believed to be Glenn Hyde, killed perhaps by Emery Kolb to protect Bessie. These legends depend on what writer Brad Dimmick calls the morphing of Glenn's image. Dimmick is a former Grand Canyon river guide with a new book about the Hydes called Sunk Without a Sound. He notes that Glenn was originally described as decent and not domineering, but later,
he became basically the ignorant brute, the wife beater, and she became the reluctant pawn. And there appears to be nothing behind it.
Dimmick guides his own boat, a wooden dory, through a Grand Canyon rapid. He mentions a second suspected Bessie, discovered in 1992 with the death of Pioneer River guide Georgie White. Friends found White had a secret life, a certified copy of a marriage certificate issued to Glenn and Bessie Hyde, and a real name, Bessie. There's even a second Glenn Hyde, who attempted the Colorado River late in 1928 and disappeared for 8 years. Dimmick considers the legends on a rocky shoreline by a thundering Colorado River.
There's four other people that may or may not have been Glenn or Bessie. Some people would sure like them to be. I'm in trouble with a lot of river boatmen for ruining some of their stories.
Dimmock's book debunks the legends in exhaustive detail. Here's a sampling. The campfire Bessie said she hiked out and took a bus home, but the town she claimed to have reached didn't have bus service at the time. Georgie White was 5 inches taller than Bessie. The skeleton found in Emery Kolb's canoe didn't have the physical features of Glenn Hyde, according to extensive forensic analysis. And despite the coincidences, the second Glenn Hyde had a life demonstrably distinct from his namesake.
You know, you go through all the different possibilities of one or the other, of them surviving, of them trying to climb out. But to me, the evidence of any of those just doesn't hold up under real scrutiny.
That leads Dimmock back to the river where he rose in calm water.
Look at how sheer those cliffs are downstream. Just dreadful place to try and climb out of.
To the canyon that framed the Hyde's final days.
The most inaccessible jagged terrain. I mean, look at this. Little gulches within gulches, canyons within canyons.
And the place where they likely disappeared.
Where are they? Which way did they go? Where did it happen?
Tomorrow, new clues in the Grand Canyon on the trail of Glenn and Bessie Hyde. Howard Berkus, NPR News.